Welcome everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show, our last show before the 2018 NFL season officially kicks off. I'm your host, Professor Chris, and with me today, I got Nick and Hoos. What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, guys? I know it's been a while since I've been on, but I'm so glad to be on tonight. I've been dealing with my son, who was just born on the 30th, so...
Congratulations, Nick. Congratulations.
That is awesome.
So beautiful kid. Beautiful kid.
Yeah, 4 weeks today will be a month and a couple days. It's unbelievable.
Little Christopher Hussein Sumrall. I love it.
Yeah, you guys wish. No, that's Owen Michael Sumrall, actually.
I like it.
Thank you. But I'm so excited to talk football with you guys today because there's been a lot going on and free agency can't come here soon enough. And then the draft. So I love off season, but I just hate waiting for it. So
yeah, no kidding. Well, fortunately, the NFL Combine is here. Thursday, we have running backs, offensive lines, special teams, and kickers. Fridays, all positions. Saturdays, quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, and defense. Sunday finishes it up with defensive linemen and linebackers.
Exciting stuff.
Yep. Woo! Oh, I forgot. Monday, D-backs on Monday.
D-backs.
Yeah, so in case you were curious, I told you guys I had a chance to go to the Combine last year, right?
Yeah, and you absolutely loved every bit of it, right? And you just can't wait to go back.
Let everybody know that if you have tickets to the Combine, don't go because it is freaking boring.
I saw your post like a year ago about how you were excited about going to the Combine, and now you're just like, yeah, don't go.
Yeah, the Facebook memory or whatever it was popped up. I was like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny to me is like, I mean, the Combine, I understand there's a lot of people who invest in the Combine and and watch things closely. But to me, I really don't see a whole lot of point in the Combine. I think there's certain things that can be taken out and put in to make the Combine better or more telling of a player's strengths and weaknesses. But I mean, because look at the 40-yard dash. Okay. That's one that bothers me. I mean, yes, we get to see how fast some of these guys are, but speed doesn't mean everything. Look at John Ross. I mean, the guy broke the 40-yard dash record. What did he do last year? Nothing. Went as a top 10 pick though, because of it. And now I bet the Bengals are kicking themselves in the ass from taking him when they could have taken somebody who could have actually made a contribution this past season.
Well, in his defense, I mean, he did get injured, but still.
I'm sorry, but he wasn't projected to be anywhere near the top 10, not even a first-round pick until his 40-yard dash.
Yeah, and he didn't even win that private island because he wasn't wearing Adidas.
Oh, isn't that bull? I would be so mad if I were him.
As you mentioned at the beginning, we're doing talking about some free agents here. But before we get into news and then really talking about most of the fantasy relevant free agents, I want to just want you guys to just give me one free agent that you were excited about, where you want him to go, and why. So I don't want to get into full discussions about these guys because I'm sure we're going to talk about them later. But who are you most excited about? Nick, we're going to start with you.
For me, it's Allen Robinson. And listen, I'm sure he probably won't make the market at this point with what the recent news about Blake Bortles' contract getting redone and them having cap space now to actually bring Allen Robinson back. But I'm still going to speculate because you never say never in the NFL and what happens in free agency. The guy is a wide receiver one. Despite some poor performance in 2016, he did have the ACL tear in 2017, but I expect him to be fully ready. So there are some question marks around him, but we all know he is the prototypical wide receiver one. He has the body type for it. He did put up 14 touchdowns in the 2015 season. I think any team he goes to is a huge upgrade to their wide receiver corps day one. And this may be a biased answer, but I truly do believe with the upgrade in coaching staff, he would be a great fit for my Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I like it. A couple weeks ago, Mike and I were talking about Trubisky and that really the only thing the Bears need is a great wide receiver.
Right.
Yeah. So I like it.
And you know what? Honestly, I'm gonna actually double you up there. I think they need two wide receivers.
Yeah, because
do you think Trubisky can support two though? Like fantasy wise?
Listen.
Or he just needs one.
I'm gonna say
he just needs two.
I'm going to say for the team, they need a couple of receivers. Fantasy-wise, he'll probably make one really stand out. Look, I mean, I don't know if you guys have touched into Bears as much as I would have because, you know, I haven't been on and everything. but I will say, I mean, I'm pretty excited for the fantasy outlook of the Bears with Matt Nagy as their new head coach. This is going to upgrade their offense tremendously compared to the John Fox run offense.
Who's your sleeper of next season for the Bears?
I don't even think we've seen him on the team yet.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Yeah.
Who is your pick?
Might be a surprise, but Deion Lewis. You know, I think the guy did phenomenal with the limited work he got. I mean, he had 180 rushes, 896 yards, darn near 1,000 yard season, 6 touchdowns on the ground and 3 through the air. You know, he still got a lot left in the tank. He's only 27 years old. He's a Brooklyn guy, you know, like I am Brooklyn born. I would love to see him on the Giants. I think the Giants do a good job of, you know, grabbing these Patriots guys. Shane Vereen was great, but he wasn't very durable. You know, I know Deion Lewis isn't the super durable guy either. He's only 195 pounds. He's 5'8". But, you know, he's put 6 touchdowns on the ground. You know, I do like the chip on the shoulder of the fact that they're, you know, not going to be re-signing him. And he's a championship winner guy. He showed you a bunch of great stuff in all purposes. So he's a guy that I'm excited for, and I'd love for him to end up on the Giants. And Giants, you know, there's talk about them trading the pick, you know, maybe, you know, addressing more of the line, doing other things. The team needs a lot right now. So Deion Lewis would be a nice addition.
All right, there you go. And my pick for the free agent I'm most excited about is actually Trey Burton. And I know his overall numbers aren't great, but that's because of Ertz last year. Right. Just being in the way and Ertz being phenomenal. But in the 2 games that Ertz missed, Burton caught 3 touchdowns. He had a 2-for-41 in a touchdown game, and then later on, 5-for-71 and 2 touchdowns. So he's caught touchdowns every time he filled in for Zach Ertz. He threw a touchdown in the Super Bowl, which was pretty great. Perfect on-target pass to Nick Foles. So basically, he is the greatest tight end of all time because he can throw and catch. And I'm actually going to not pick my own team for this free agent. And I would like to see him go to the Broncos because I think they're going to make a push for either Cousins or Keenum or Bradford. One of the three, I think, is going to go to Denver, and he's going to be an upgrade over A.J. Darby.
Hey, excellent. I mean, we're going to discuss the Broncos, I feel, a little more because I have some thoughts on them and everything. I have so many thoughts to share. So, come on, Chris. Let's continue on. Let's move along and see what else you got for us.
All right, so kicking things off here, the NFL has several new proposed rule changes that they're going to be discussing at the Combine this week, and they are going to be clarifying what a catch is.
Let's go!
they're looking at potentially eliminating the going to the ground portion of that rule, which means Cowboys fans, right. Dez caught it.
Right.
Lions fans, that Calvin Johnson catch was a touchdown. Patriots fans, Austin Seferian Jenkins and Jesse James should have given you 2 losses lessons.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they're looking at getting rid of that, which I think is great.
Yeah, I mean, it was a stupid, silly thing that it feels like it only fitted the Patriots at times. I don't know. But yeah, I'm really excited about this news.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Another thing, I feel like this is a big change, is that they're looking into changing the penalty for defensive pass interference from a spot foul to a 15-yard penalty at most, more like how college does it. So this is going to keep quarterbacks and offenses from just hurling it down the field as far as they can, hoping for pass interference from the defense. I'm not quite sure how I feel about this penalty as of right now. How do you feel about it, Hoos?
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm going to be addressing the Patriots again, you know, like that's something that Tom Brady, you know, we've seen him do that throughout the playoffs, you know, chucking up the ball and hoping for, you know, them to just throw up a flag. So, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know. Yeah. I'm kind of with you. I'm not really sure how I feel about it, but I'm a little more 60-40 about it. Happy. You know, or 55, you know, 45, you know, like however you want to look at it, but more on the side of kind of happy about it, for sure.
Yeah, I can see this. I mean, it's certainly going to change the offensive strategy, but I think it's going to cause more pass interference calls to happen because defenses are going to be like, oh, well, this guy's, you know, they have this much time, but they're trying to go down the field and just hope for a pass interference penalty. Well, here's one. We're only going to give them 15 yards.
Right.
So they're going to intentionally do it so that there's no chance of the catch happening, and they only have to give up 15 yards instead of, you know, 55.
Right. And that's a really great point to bring up.
This will be interesting to watch when they're doing this during the preseason.
Right, exactly.
Which is the only thing that's going to make the preseason kind of exciting. At least the first two games.
Right.
The league is also looking at increasing the amount of illegal contact calls that get made to limit the hand fighting, which, you know, could also sometimes be pass interference as well. But they're going to call that more. And then what's being called the Josh McDaniels rule, and that teams are going to be allowed to hire coaches even when their teams are still in the playoffs. That's how crappy of a thing that McDaniels did. They had to have a rule change.
That's crazy.
And we don't need to get into it again. I know Hoos and I, you have talked about the whole McDaniels situation, but that is a rule that they're looking into. And you know what? I like it.
I like it a lot. I mean, it's really a shame that they had to do this, but again, we're not going to go into it.
Definitely got done
and
dirty. That's
true. Yep.
Absolutely. Next piece of news: the Panthers have released Jonathan Stewart, clearing $3.7 million in cap space. I know Christian McCaffrey owners have to be just like over heels, like in love with this move. But I don't. They're not just going to run with McCaffrey. In my opinion, I think maybe they're going to try to sign LeGarrette Blount if he hits free agency.
Well, you know, if you sign LeGarrette Blount, you go into the Super Bowl. So.
That's the way it works. Yeah. That's the way it works. Guaranteed ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. But I definitely don't expect Christian McCaffrey to be alone by the time the season rolls around in that backfield.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think he's going to be even better, but there's not going to be a starting running back in front of him like there was this season.
Unless they do something crazy in the draft that we don't see coming.
Yeah, they could do that.
I mean, because part of me feels like they're going to try and go with this new approach. Maybe not new, but I've noticed a certain trend around the NFL as of late. I mean, everybody pretty much has two capable running backs. You look at the Falcons. You look at the Saints now this year, this past year. You know, even the Bears to an extent with Howard and Cohen. You got it's popping up all over the league where teams are dealing with two young running backs who can – share the workload and do so in an explosive way. So I would not be surprised if the Panthers did maybe go second or third round with a possible running back to pair with McCaffrey.
Yeah, maybe get a bruiser for the short yardage situations. Yeah, I completely agree. Moving on here, the Jaguars signed Blake Bortles to a 3-year, $54 million contract. It's basically an extension, but it didn't extend his current contract. It just replaced his current contract, so extended it a little bit, but it's not officially an extension. But wasn't there last offseason, there was talk about them not even, like, just trying to cut him.
Yeah, so now he's release. Yeah, so now he's getting $20 million guaranteed. This is, you know, I mean, something that Blake Bortles, I mean, if I'm his agent, probably going to try to get him to, you know, test out open market. But if I'm Blake Bortles, I'm signing this. You know, like, this is, you know, this is $20 million guaranteed. You know, it's just a good contract for Blake Bortles. If he's able to put up what his expectations coming into previous seasons, and I don't want to say last season because a lot of people were down on him, but he still finished as a top 12. Am I wrong? I mean, like, the guy did this with the pieces missing, you know, of Allen Robinson, of Hearns, you know, and then he found guys like D.D. Westbrook. He found guys like Keelan Cole, you know. So, I mean, I think we got to give, him a little bit more credit rather than giving these unknown obscure guys that I love to talk about credit. So Blake Bortles, I'm not upset, you know, with him at all, you know, as a quarterback fantasy, he's always semi-relevant. And I think this is a great deal for their team.
Yeah, you asked me last week if Matthew Stafford was worth the money that he was getting, and he's getting $16.5 million in 2018.
Right. Yeah.
You're trying to tell me that Blake Bortles deserves more than Stafford. I mean, wow. I know the amount that they get paid is going up, but...
Well, you look at the guaranteed money. I mean, for me, that's what I look at. I don't look at anything else. I mean... what did Stafford get? $60 million guaranteed or something like that, or more?
It was high.
Yeah. So I mean, Blake only got 20. You know. So I mean, they can always you know how these contracts work. Right. So you know. So it's the fact that he got 20. I think it was a good deal for them.
Yeah, I mean, the guaranteed money is what you're really always concerned about, yep. because at that point, after the guaranteed money, they could just cut ties, kind of like what the yep. Bears are doing with Mike Glennon.
Yeah, absolutely. The Jaguars also released Chris Ivory, not hugely fantasy relevant aside from those games where Fournette was out. But if you are in a dynasty startup, start looking at Corey Grant.
There you go.
Moving on here, the Miami Herald reported that the Dolphins are likely going to release Julius Thomas by the start of the new league year, which is 4 p.m. on March 14th. And other Dolphins news, multiple sources have concerned that the Dolphins are going to be looking at trading Landry at the Combine. Where would you like to see him go, Nick?
Well, you would think my first answer would be the Bears. But honestly, I mean, if the price is right, I'm not going to say no. But in all seriousness, though, I see him fitting in more in with the Ravens. I think he'd be a good slot guy. They don't really have anybody there. Sorry, Chris Moore. But they don't really have anybody too strong in that spot. And they are weak at receiver. They were not much better than the Bears as far as wide receivers are concerned. So I think he'd be a good fit there to help boost that position up. And, you know, if they retain Jeremy Maclin, who maybe they can still get another year out of him, you know, maybe he can actually put something together this year with some help from Jarvis Landry. I think that could be a great spot for him.
Who's where do you think?
I think the Raiders need some pieces. I mean, they just I think they're moving away from Crabtree, and you know, they're, you know, looking at Amari Cooper. You know, Gruden came out and said that he wants him to be the focal point. I think Jarvis Landry definitely needs to be a secondary, you know, receiver rather than what he's been as the first receiver on the Dolphins. And he's been great. He's been great for you. And as far as fantasy wise, you know, he was a top 10, top 12 wide receiver this year.
Number five in PPR.
Number five in PPR, 8 touchdowns.
9 touchdowns.
Oh, sorry. Exactly. I'm selling them short every time. You know? Yeah, so I think he'd be a great fit for the Raiders. They don't really have much pieces there. And, man, I think Derek Carr's got his work cut out for him. He needs more pieces.
Yeah, I would agree. And I'm actually going to take my own team on this one. I would love to see the Colts have both Landry and
I like that
Hilton
too.
With Luck throwing. They have like the cap space to do it.
I like it. And they've always been wanting to do that. They've been targeting two top end wide receivers, I feel like, every year. They hoped for it for Andre Johnson. It didn't work out. And I feel like there were other attempts that just didn't work out for them.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, as we all say this, the Browns will end up trading because they have the most draft capital and cap space of all the teams out there. So
okay, so I wanted to bring this up. I didn't know if this was official or not, but I saw something on Twitter, and I wanted to talk about this on the show. It was a trade between the Colts and the Browns where the Colts would trade Andrew Luck, and they would get the Browns both their first-round picks and the second-round picks, which would give the Colts 3 picks in the first four, like 3 of the first 4 picks in the draft for Andrew Luck.
I do that if I'm the Colts.
Oh, wow.
I know. That was my first instinct was, no, you can't give up Andrew Luck, but they still need a lot of work, and 3 of the first 4 picks is huge.
That's super huge.
And it is a big deal.
And there's a lot of great quarterbacks this year, and you just have to, Andrew Luck, man. Like, you just have to wrap him in a blanket and just hope that he's okay. You know, like, I know, there was talk that he might have needed a second surgery, and he kind of just said, no, you know, like, it's too late for that.
Yeah, like, I think he's going to be back. What?
Yeah, I know, but just the fact that he says that, it's kind of pause. You know, he's just like, wait, what? It's
Which is why that. Exactly like, that this is most likely never going to happen for the Browns organization. I mean, listen, they're not dealing with a baseball GM anymore. You know, they've got John Dorsey, who's a respected GM, you know, coming from the Chiefs and Green Bay. You know, he's worked around the league. He's not new in this.
Right. Well said.
So I don't think that deal goes down at all because of the question marks with Andrew Luck. I mean, that's, you know, Andrew Luck's question marks has pretty much a sore spot for the Colts for really drawing any interest from free agents or even head coaches.
Yeah, it's certainly been kind of a bummer, but you know that, and the injuries could be a big reason as to why the Colts would even consider getting rid of Andrew Luck, who
right.
is one of the best quarterbacks in the game when he's healthy.
But they got to watch out for selling him short.
That's right. The problem. Yeah, absolutely. But I think if they get that offer from the Browns, they have to take that.
Yeah, I would say that's an offer you can't pass up.
You
yeah.
can take Chubb for the defensive end and Barkley and a quarterback. Because let's face it, if they get rid of Luck, they need a quarterback. They're not. Yep. I don't want them to roll.
No, of course. No, of course not.
With the first overall pick, they take a quarterback and they take a defensive stud with the fourth overall pick. That's just it. They take either Bradley Chubb or Minka Fitzpatrick, or hell, maybe even Saquon Barkley stays
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I would think Barkley would be in there.
Listen, the Colts have a lot of needs. I'm sorry to say that. Just like the Bears, we're both in this together, buddy. We both have a lot of needs for our teams. We're in the middle. Hey, at least we're in the middle of our rebuilds. We're not like starting from scratch like the Browns still are and the Jets. We're getting there, but we still need a lot of help.
The Chiefs traded star cornerback Marcus Peters to the Rams for a 2018 fourth and a 2019 second. So the Rams defense just got even better, and that Chiefs defense, who you loved for fantasy in 2016, just got worse.
Yeah, it's the way the cookie crumbles.
Yep. Yeah, this was not the correct move unless they are going into a full rebuild. In my opinion, Marcus Peters is great.
Yeah, GMs. I mean, what are you gonna do?
It's a business.
We'll see.
Samaje Perine is expected to be the starter in Washington, which isn't really a surprise. He flashed at times when he took over for Rob Kelly. Had a couple nice games in there for fantasy. But I'm more excited about him starting than I am Rob Kelly. Now, Hoos, I know you're in love with Chris Thompson.
Of course.
So you want him to be named the starter.
No, I don't care. He doesn't need to be named the starter. Let Chris Thompson still go out there and be a darn near borderline top, 10, PPR back. You know, let him go out there sneaky. You know,
he
I love
not him. Going to do what he did last year.
Okay,
he is not.
All right,
Samaje Perine, come on.
Samaje Perine is garbage.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Chris Thompson is overrated.
No, he is not.
Yes, he is.
He is super underrated.
No.
But we're not going to get into that because we'll do that.
I still don't think Chris Thompson is the answer to the backfield either.
Look, he's not. He's small. But what I'm saying is splitting
the difference. That's like Chicago Bear fans trying to tell me that Tariq Cohen is the answer
to the running back situation. Right.
And he's going to overtake Jordan Howard. Give me a break.
Right. Right. and I love his skill set, what he's able to do. And for, PPR, he's going to be good another year, as soon as he comes back from his injury. You know, this is an injury that we've seen a lot of guys come back from. But I'm digressing. Chris, go on.
Yep. All right, last piece of news here. The Vikings are not expected to assign the franchise tag to Case Keenum, so he is going to be an unrestricted free agent. So I'm looking forward to seeing what team decides to blow a lot of money on Case Keenum.
Blow to load. Which, make it rain.
He's going to get more than I think he should. Free agency players and some predictions here. So I went through the list earlier today and took a whole bunch of names that are fantasy relevant. We are not going to break down every single one of these guys, but there are a couple of them that we're going to pause to go into a little bit. Le'Veon Bell probably going to sign the franchise tag for the Steelers, so there's not a whole lot there that's looking like how it's going to go. Drew Brees is a free agent, but most likely going to be back with the Saints. There's no reason for him to leave, and they want him. Him and Sean Payton.
Unless the Browns somehow managed to really tempt him, because, I mean, we're talking they have $111 million in cap space. They could throw some – I mean, listen, you're right. It's probably never going to happen.
He doesn't need to eat the kids.
But I'm telling you, you throw that kind of money at somebody, it's going to be a real tempting offer, that's for sure.
Breeze has made his cash. I think he wants to stay with a contender, and a contender that he knows.
Probably. You're probably right.
But we keep coming down to the, well, the Browns can do this. And really, in all reality, the Browns are just a quarterback away from being great.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
They're that close.
You're 100% right, Chris. I agree with that.
I don't
maybe a running back in addition.
I mean, and their defense is still
Young.
Yeah, I mean the defense.
Their defense is pretty good. What do you mean?
Why? Because they got Myles Garrett from last year.
No, not all. No, not just that. I mean, if you look at their team. Yeah, I mean they've got a good. They got young guys that are. I'm just saying, listen,
if their defense should have then won them games, what happened?
They're young and their offense did not help them out. I mean, at all. I mean, their defense did more than enough and their offense did nothing.
Look, I don't think the Browns are nearly as bad as maybe if we were talking a couple of years ago, like during the Manziel era. I agree that they've made some upgrades, but I'm not going to sit here and say they're a quarterback away.
Hard to say that they're not as bad after an 0-16 season, though.
Exactly. That's also my point. I mean, you go 0-16, that's almost impossible to do. Only one of the team has done that ever.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, the Lions, right? Was it 0-9? The 0-9 Lions?
I believe so, but it was definitely the Lions.
Yeah, it certainly was. So Drew Brees, probably most likely going to be back in New Orleans. Kirk Cousins is the big name. I mean, we don't have free agent quarterbacks of this caliber hit the market very often. So it's going to be interesting where he goes. He's most likely – has he signed that franchise tag yet?
Kirk Cousins, no.
Yeah, because he needs to sign it in order to be traded.
But is he even – was he even given the franchise tag? I didn't even hear that he was given a franchise tag.
Well, there was –
did they not tag him?
I don't believe they
haven't yet. There was just
conversation
that
– you're right.
That they were going to tag him in order to trade him.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, they have Alex Smith. I mean,
right,
they,
exactly. That's why it's believed that they're not going to tag
right.
him.
So everyone, right?
Wouldn't it be a kick in the dick though? March 5th, right before the final day for tagging, he signs his franchise tag, and that's it. He can't be on the free agency anymore. He'll just only trades.
Well, I mean, then the Redskins are going to trade him. I mean, I think that's smart. It's smart for the Redskins to tag him. I don't think it would be a shame.
But then at the same time, it gives them – I mean, their GM just has to be, you know, really on point because it's just another problem to have, even though it's a good problem to have, a very good problem to have. You got to just address that along with everything else you got to fix if you feel like there's things you need to fix, which the Redskins, they're not a perfect team. They've got a ton of fix.
But
it just gives them something else to – you know, cap space. What if they're stuck with them? You know, and
teams will certainly come at them, though. But anyway, Cousins, that is the big name. We don't know where he's going to go yet. Jarvis Landry, who mentioned that franchise tag is $16.2 million, probably going to sign it and then get traded. Jimmy Graham hitting free agency again. Not super exciting for me anymore. I would have been in the past for Jimmy Graham going somewhere, but he's just okay to me at this point, depending on where he lands.
I like Jimmy Graham a lot. I think he's just had a connection issue with his quarterback year one. Year two, he was really good. Russell Wilson does have options and guys that he really does like. So I think he's going to be really great in any particular offense that he goes in. So we'll just have to wait and see where he falls.
Is there a place you'd like to see him go?
No, I mean, it's too early. I mean, San Fran, maybe. You know,
I would hate that for Kittle.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't like that for Kittle because I do like Kittle a lot, you know, but maybe they would just want something more, you know, substantial, you know, maybe the Bills, maybe even Washington.
maybe this team.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many teams that, you know, that could use a tight end. You know, I mentioned San Fran just because, you know, they would probably like to have Garoppolo with, you know, really great options, not just, you know, come up guys, you know, so.
They might stop asking you open-ended questions.
Yeah, you do, unless you want the show to end anytime soon.
As mentioned earlier by Nick, Allen Robinson hitting free agency. We already talked about him. I wouldn't be surprised to see him go back to the Jaguars. I think that's exactly what he's going to do. But like we said, we already hit him. Case Keenum, still not sure where he's going to go either, but we know it's not going to be in Minnesota. Sammy Watkins, a free agent. I think the Rams are probably going to want him back. They have said so. Frank Gore, also a free agent. The Colts are not going to be bringing him back, but he still wants to play. So is there a place that you would like to see him go, Hoos? I think maybe he could be serviceable down in Tampa.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he can be a piece. And I mean, that's not a bad spot.
You're too high on Peyton Barber.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't want to see him there because, yeah, I love Peyton Barber, you know, a ton. But maybe, I don't know, maybe he's a cheaper option for, like, the Texans. I know they're not very high on Lamar Miller anymore. So yeah, if they let him go and they kind of have, you know, Frank Gore as a complimentary, you know, back, you know, that's something I could see. You know, maybe even the Bengals.
Jeremy Hill
definitely wasn't that. Well, yes, but Jeremy Hill wasn't that, and I just think that they don't use one back anyway. They never have.
Right. So he would be an upgrade over Jeremy Hill.
Right. So it, you know, I just think that, you know, as far as a plotter, he's that.
Doug Martin, we talked about last week, was released by the Bucks. Not sure who's going to want to deal with his headache. Isaiah Crowell, a free agent. So that's great for Duke Johnson. I assume the Browns are going to address the running back position as well. But if they don't, Duke's going to be great. Trey Burton, as mentioned. A.J. McCarron, who's someone that the Browns have been rumored to be interested in. So, you know, they wanted to trade for him last season. We talked about this on last week's show, too. They wanted to trade for him last year, and now they can sign him. So that's good news for them. Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, the other two Vikings quarterbacks, leaving them with none on the roster. I think Bradford's going to get a starting job. I don't think Bridgewater deserves one.
Bridgewater has to show and prove. He's going to get signed somewhere on a decent deal, I think. And we're just going to have to wait and see. Because, I mean, well, at this point, no, I think someone's going to project him as a starter. I mean, because of his potential, you know, and they're going to have to, you know.
What potential? We haven't seen anything good.
Well, he was injured, dude. I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, last year, fair. His overall – he played two full seasons. His stats weren't good.
I mean, young quarterback, he's flashed and had great games. So you can't say that he's shown nothing at all. I don't think it's fair to him.
14 touchdowns in both 2014 and 2015. That's not a guy you want leading your team.
All right. Well,
especially coming off like his, yeah, I mean, did he like tear or break every single thing in his knee? I mean, I'm glad the guy's back. Like, he seems like a great guy. I'm really happy for him. But fantasy wise, I don't want him anywhere starting.
Well, the great thing about fantasy football, these are people, and they all come out, they put a chip on their shoulder, and they come out there and play. So
yeah.
I would not, you know, bet against, you know, any player in fantasy, you know, or just football, period, because, you know, these guys, and Teddy Bridgewater's young, and he's had, you know, a lot of great potential in front of him, and perhaps some more in front of him. You know, we just don't see it yet. So
Tyler Eifert, Paul Richardson, Carlos Hyde, a free agent. I'll be very interested to see where he's going to go. I would actually like him to replace Frank Gore for the second time in Indy. Austin Seferian Jenkins, a free agent. Josh Gordon is an exclusive rights free agent, which means the Browns are the only ones that can sign him. But if they choose not to offer him a contract before the new year starts, then he becomes an unrestricted free agent. Marquise Lee, also a free agent. Man, it'd be a shame for the Jaguars to give Bortles that huge deal, and then Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson are no longer Jaguars next year.
But they just have so many weapons.
I know. They still got Didi, still got Keelan Cole, Allen Hurns. Probably going to be back, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you'd imagine. I mean, they have a lot of good problems to have. So, I mean, Tom Coughlin, he's got a lot of time to deal with this offseason. Not a lot, but he's got to get to it. It's actually all of his time is right now.
Yep.
But he's going to be pretty active. He's made some good decisions so far.
Yeah, I agree. He's done a good job. Just a couple more names here. Cameron Brate is a restricted free agent. Jerick McKinnon, I'll be very excited to see if he lands someone or somewhere where he can actually perform with the football and the passing game.
Another Danny guy, Amendola. Giants.
Yeah, the Giants. Yeah. Then wide receivers, Danny Amendola, Jordan Matthews, Mike Wallace. So if who are we talking about earlier? Maybe going to the Ravens, Jarvis Landry, right?
Right, exactly.
They have a spot open if Wallace walks. Josh McCown going to be a free agent as well. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets want to get him back for one.
Right. Week. Yeah, I think he was a good tutelage guy.
Yep, I agree. And then Eric Decker as well is also a free agent. And that really rounds out the list of the fantasy relevant guys.
Right. Yeah. Relevant ones.
Those certainly aren't the only guys, but they're the fantasy relevant guys. All right. Well, that's going to be it for the show. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at SleeperWire Show. You can follow Hoos at SleeperWire Hoos and me at Seymour SleeperWire and Nick at SleeperWire Nick. You can find us on SleeperBot at Professor Chris, Prophet Hoos, and SW Nick. and then on the Fantasy Life app at Professor Chris and Hoos the Prophet. Make sure to check out sleeperwire.com, especially during the season. We have all of our weekly rankings updated every single Wednesday. You can submit a question to the Sleeperwire crew and all that good stuff. Support Rob and, you know, great things like that. The winner of the Michael Crabtree jersey will be announced next show. So
that's right.
Make sure you listen to see if you won. Thanks for listening, guys. For Nick and Hoos, I'm Professor Chris. Have a good night.